advent of industrialization, India has lost several handloom textile traditions. In recent years, there has been an interest in reviving or bringing them back. It is a mammoth task and by no means is easy. Hello, my name is Preetha and you are listening to Textile Tales of India, a platform to discuss the ins and outs of Indian textiles.
Textile Tales of India, a Pod One production.
Today, we will learn about textile revival from none other than the founder of Punarjeevana Trust, a movement dedicated to reviving India's traditional crafts. Dr. Hemlata Jain has actively helped to revive more than 50 lost handloom weaves and empowered artisans across the country. Sari enthusiasts will remember her contribution to bringing back the Pattida Anchu and Gomiteni saris of North Karnataka. Hello, Dr. Jain. Thank you for joining.
My first question to you is that what made you think about starting a textile revival plan?
So basically, I never started it as a textile revival plan. I was working in USA and then I thought of coming back and doing documentation, which I thought is a major missing. That's where I came back to India and I was not really working. I was a nomad. So I traveled across different villages in Karnataka and I found out there is a lot of languishing art forms which are there, not only textile, but other handicrafts. And there are a lot of people who know the skill, but they do not have a source of fund to do that. And many of them were stuck in a problem called as compound interest, which is a very normal thing in Karnataka, which is called as chakrabaddi. So if the person loans some money, then there is a cycle of compounding of interest and it keeps going on. So a lot of weavers are stuck in that. So that's the biggest problem which I found, that people who are very skilled and still people are not able to fulfill their daily needs, but they are stuck with that whole cycle and then they are getting a very, very nominal amount, which they cannot take care of their family. And they are working more like a slave rather than working as really like they should be respected, and things are a very far off thing which I could see at that time. So that's what I thought. I will start with a prototype, at least for documentation. That was my thought when I started. So that's how our journey started of working with one weaver. And by then I had like almost 55 samples and stories which were there, which I knew that I have to make prototypes and document and all that. So that's how we started.
So you mentioned the samples and prototypes. So these you collected during your journey across Karnataka.
Yes.
It must have been a very long and arduous process.
Yeah. So I actually lived on, I would say, bus stands and different places. Like people would say, oh, you'll get a connect there. So I would travel in the bus overnight, or then I would go to some stranger and random places and then freshen up and then start again the next day. So that's how it had been for more than 6-7 years. That's how it had been.
Amazing. I'm so glad that you did it, because now we have new additions to our textile dictionary, thanks to you. How long has it been? You said 6-7 years. So when did you start Punarjeevana officially?
Officially, it started in 2017 April. So 2017 April is what we got registered. But we started working on it from 2014. So I have artisans who were doing smaller work. Like there were many good skilled laborers who were skilled weavers, who are working as laborers for ice cream selling or oil and construction work and things like that. And on and off, people knew that I come to look for weavers. So some people introduced me. So there are some nice, one of our master weaver was selling oil at one point, and part time he used to work with us. So that's where we started with him. And as I went again and again, I would go meet different villagers, and I would sit. There is something called as Panchayat Katte. So there is every village will have a bus stand, a big banyan tree. People will sit around, have conversation and things like that. So I would go sit and talk to people. So next time when I visit, people will introduce me to someone else who will know something. So that's where I started getting connects of, oh, this sample was there when my grandmother was weaving, or this sample was there where my great grandmother was doing. So like that, I started getting connects. And I was also coming back to Bangalore, taking classes and things like that, Bangalore, Chennai and things like that, and interacting with a lot of college and NIF people. So, and also taking interviews in Karnataka and Maharashtra, I met a lot of people who were born in North Karnataka, or they were from some part of Maharashtra. They had a lot of stories to say, saying my great-grandmother, or connecting me. So a lot of people connected me to different people who would talk about historical reference, or they would have samples and things like that. So I got from rural and urban, both the places I got very interesting content. Some people gave me stories, some people gave me samples, some people only visually described it. So that was more curiosity driven, that I wanted to know what exactly is that. So that's how we started.
And I'm curious to know, did you come up with the name Punarjeevan? It's a very beautiful name. And for those who do not know what it means new life.
So basically, I come from a very conservative family. So for us, like for my family, I was the first one who went ahead and did my master's or doctorate or working also. Similarly, I saw a lot of people as my weavers, like you getting a voice of yourself and talking. Mm-hmm. Same thing, I saw it in my weavers, male or female. They did not have their own voice to talk or show their things, what they are doing. And a lot of times women have a lot of potential, but they're not able to say it or describe it, what they feel. Today, what you feel, it's very rarely you can explain it in words. Mm-hmm. So that's where I thought this could be something of not only getting a textile or a culture back, it is also about a way of voicing what artisan or people or anyone wants to say. So that's where it was like coming back. So Punarjanma, that's how we thought of doing. Mm-hmm. Like the logo also is like a story. It's a jalebi turned around. So we all love jalebi, and that's how the logo also came in. So that's where the Punarjeevana has, like every bit of Punarjeevana, my weavers, everyone has some stories. So that's how it's connected. And mm-hmm. during that time, I also registered for my PhD in NIFT. So my weaver said, oh, you will get degree, what will we get? And that's how we registered Punarjeevana.
You must have faced a lot of challenges when you started this project. Can you tell us a bit about some of them?
So basically, when I started traveling, I heard a lot of people talking about many designers coming, like weavers saying, oh, many people come, talk like you and go, they never come back. So they were not very keen on working with me because they did not trust. Because there were a lot of people coming with money, telling them stuff and then going away. So they did not trust me. So building trust was the biggest challenge. Then once we started having trust with group of weavers and started working, we villagers thought we are outsider, and they felt very like an outsider coming and taking over kind of a thing. So that way it became a challenge in the village. Our weavers also faced a lot of challenges because people would walk in, tell them, oh, why are you working for us? Work for me and things like that. So it became very difficult for them also to face a lot of questions because they didn't know how to explain, because they're very good at hands work, but it's very difficult for them to explain what they're thinking or what they voice on. And again, once we started weaving, a lot of replicas happened because every weaver has a relative who is working for Pavloom. So a lot of Pavloom stuff happened. So we had challenges in-house also to do how to tackle the situation. Sales, marketing, all that was always there, but we figured it out. So for us, it's always been like challenges have turned around as opportunities. That's how I and my weavers also say, like COVID, they would tell me, like that time we were not prepared. That was like we had started going to exhibitions and things like that. And we had not yet, I had not foreseen that this is coming. So we had booked for 9 exhibitions, and there was like 500 square feet of rooms filled with stock, because 9 exhibitions is like crazy. So then I remember one of my viewers saying, how dane dane pe likha hai khane wale ka naam. So he says, jiski saadi hogi wo zarur aayega pehne. And I feel that was true. It actually turned around to be true. So like that, there are a lot of challenges which we faced.
How have the weavers evolved over time from their initial apprehension to how do they respond to it now?
So earlier when I started, I used to go every week. Every weekend I used to spend with them. Or probably like 5 days. In 15 days, I would be 5 days in the village. And every weekend I would spend there. So if they thought she's mad, she would call me mad only. In Kannada, it's like Hucche Hudgi. That is how they would call me. So I would go back and keep doing stuff. A lot of people didn't want to do dyeing for me. They did not trust me. So a lot of people who did work continuously did not want to work for me. So I started doing the dyeing. There was no black happening. So black was introduced in the village by me because black was very inauspicious. So they did red and yellow more. So when I said black, then I had to do the whole dyeing myself for like how many kgs, I don't even remember, more than 200 kgs. So when they saw that I'm doing all that effort, a lot of children joined me. So that is where the mothers also started doing stuff, saying, oh, how will you do alone? Let's help you, kind of thing. So there was like this empathy which also built on, where the women started becoming part of the thing. And men then slowly accepted that, okay, she's there and she's going to be there. And then as we were doing, like my first thing which I got as an order, when I took these prototypes and went to Dastakari Hath Samiti saying, oh, I want to take feedback. I did not take sari. I took everything but not sari. Because I had got a feedback from 10,000 women, sari is not a thing. 2014-15, people were saying it's very difficult to wear, so they don't want to wear. So Jaya ma'am came up with something called as 100 sari pack. She was about to launch. So she saw the material. She told me, why don't you do sari? I said, no one is going to wear. She said, do it, 100 saris. And that's how our first thing started. First order. I did not have money. I did not have loom. I didn't have anything when I took that order. And that's how we started. And for that project itself, we did like dyeing of material and things like that. So my weavers, like one weaver was happy to do part-time and one worked full-time. So first 100 saris, we did it in like 5 months. Like 5 months, we did not do 100. We did 93 saris. And I thought, kaun kharidega ekhi din mein? 7 sari, it's okay. But to my surprise, in 2 days, we sold all saris.
Wow.
So when the news went back saying that we sold, so then there was no looking back. Because people started, weavers started feeling, oh, she's going to get back the orders. And actually, we did that. So from one loom, we went to 2. And then from 4 and then 8. So that's how we started growing. And they had a lot of belief system. So they would get people from, I don't know where all. So we got from a lot of other villages also. Women came to work and things like that. So interestingly, we are more than 102 people today.
Amazing.
So it's like pinner, weaver, dyer, embroiderer. We have all kinds of people come together. So we have weavers and we have trained women who are from disputed families and widows and things like that. So we've trained them. So we don't have like people who are weavers. So we have many women who are now weavers. So we've trained them. So that is how we are doing it. Because ultimately it is like the children get education. And so that is where we have a lot of weavers who have made pakka makan. We have a lot of women who have become financially independent. So we are able to do that.
And they have found their voice.
Yeah. And one of our weavers got an award 2 years ago. We do a lot of recognition stuff. Then we do health and hygiene workshops and things like that. And we take care of children's education. Small things we do. Whatever it's in our capacity, we try and do. And they know what, they can simply tell me, oh, we want this. And that's how. It's like more like an extended family.
You also won a few awards recently. You won the Kamla Awards for Languishing Crafts in 2022 and the DA Changemaker recently in 2025. Tell us a bit about those.
So Kamla Awards, I would say Aika is someone who has pushed me to do that. When the whole thing was like, Hemlata, can we nominate you? I said, I've not done that much that you nominate. But then they were kind enough to push the thing. So basically, revival, I feel it's like a drop in the ocean, which has a long way to go, because I see on the grassroots level, there is so much which is left, so much to be done. But it's nice to get acknowledged for what you're doing. Other than Karnataka, I'm also working with indigenous processes, Tamil Nadu and weaves and dyeing and fiber from Tripura and Arunachal. So I'm working on those also. That's where they recognized and they put the thing. Change maker thing was very surprising, because there was some journalist who said, oh, I interviewed long ago and I feel you're doing good work. And when she came back to me, I was very surprised, like I have not done that much. But somewhere I feel that acknowledgement, my viewers are very happy because the video turned around. The way they shoot, they did the whole shoot. So all my artisans and everyone were very super happy to see what's happening. And they were able to describe and say. Basically, this whole videograph, like the whole photography and video which happened during this Changemaker Award in our cluster, it was an eye-opener for me to see how everyone is so expressive. Everyone wanted to say so much. So I feel that was very interesting to see. And I feel Changemaker, in a way, it's good to be acknowledged. But I say I have loads to be done. It's just a drop. Many things to be changed. There is so much happening on the grassroots level and they don't have voice for it. So
for listeners who have missed the previous episode of this podcast, Aika is All India Artisans and Craft Workers Welfare Association. They have a certification program for craft authentication that is called Craftmark. And I believe, Dr. Jain, you have been a part of this Craftmark journey for a while now.
Yes. So we did apply for Craftmark, and it was during COVID, and we got, they came for inspection and selected us, and all that happened. Basically, being part of Aika and Craftmark, it has been a very big spectrum which has opened up for us, because before that we did only exhibition. We did not do any more of B2B. It would be like a small here and there. But Aika opened a huge platform for us, which became more of B2B. So we can actually, it's like you don't have to worry about looms more when someone is giving you bulk order. So that's become more appreciating, because the weaver gets continuous work of one design. Otherwise, we keep doing new designs. That way, it's very interesting that we have associated and they've opened international and national connects for us. They've given us a huge platform for recognition work-wise, our artisan, and for me also, there's a lot of recognitions which has come through them. And they've always given us opportunity of talking at different forums so that we can be voice of not only do what we do, but also a change which we can get for the society and for the environment. So I'm very grateful to them.
So what changes have you observed since you got the Craftmark certification?
So we were able to get different platforms like business to business, and different platforms like textile fair bazaars, where they do like export promotion councils, where internationally we get buyers who come and speak to us. And so a wonderful platform for national and international. We've got opportunities to talk in conferences. Craft Khata is every year they do a get together where they're calling all the vendors across India and many known personalities working on sustainability. So all the artisans, NGOs and people like us get an opportunity to speak our mind and also what we are doing. So it's very amazing opportunities which we have got through them.
How has that impacted the weavers?
So basically, through that, our revenue has increased. And we are able to give continuous work to our weavers. Usually for us, one loom goes for 3 months. So we have at least 70 saris on a loom. One design, if it is multiplied twice, so if you get a continuous 6 months work in one design, the weaver is always happy because he doesn't have to worry. He can have chit chat with others and then continuously do. So it's been very productive work-wise, and they become more faster. So productivity also has increased.
In your experience, what has been the response of the customers?
Customers, when we were, like as I started with the registry of sari, which they did it more like a sari, 100-pack sari. So that time people were very keen to buy, like everyone wanted one sari. So that was like a small group of people. We are talking about super niche. But the whole idea is reaching the mass, like more people, so that they understand handloom and sustainability. So going to exhibitions, I realized there are a lot of people who love handmade stuff. They want to know the story. They want to have a cultural aspect in their wardrobe. So they love and appreciate that. And they also understand the difference. So it's very nice to see that younger people are understanding this more. Older people already know, but they feel they had enough. So younger people are enjoying it. They want to take it to the next level. So a lot of people are trying to use it in different forms. They don't wear sari, but they say, oh, can I use it for curtain? So there are a lot of multiple things which people want to do. So I see younger people are more creative. They are exploring and also trying to handhold, saying, oh, we want to take, but how can we cater to that? So I see a very wide spectrum of customers coming in for the same products. There is scarcity of things, of people buying, but I see a line of rainbow which is always there, shining. More and more interesting people are coming forward. So I see a lot of hope in newer customers. And older customers are very happy to support us. They always keep pushing other people, saying, oh, this is very good. I had taken one. This is very good. So people are very appreciative. They do keep sending us videos. Children's, where we are taking workshops, they are very happy and understanding. Oh, you take the fiber like this, because we show them video, the fiber coming and how the fabric is happening. And we give a small demo. So there are a lot of people, children, who are getting their mothers saying, mother and father, but why don't you buy? So recently I had a kid who is like 12 years old, and he had his janeu happening. He made his mother buy all the gifts from us. So that was very nice. Yeah, I did not foresee that he would be my potential customer, but that's very interesting. He was like, auntie, it's made by hand. I think everyone should get one on my function. That was very sweet of him.
Oh, that's so sweet. So where do you hold these workshops for children?
So I conduct in schools. I do conduct like in different places wherever people invite. And I do it in my warehouse studio in Bangalore. And I do online.
That is good information to know. What is your bestseller?
Bestseller, we have saris like Patadancho, red and yellow. That's my bestseller. And black hubli, which people love. They want to pick up, like everyone wants to have one of those.
I've got a couple of your saris, black patadanchu with yellow and red borders.
The same.
Okay, I guess I bought it before COVID, and then a gomi teni. And a couple of years ago, I went on a craft trail of North Karnataka, but I couldn't make it till Hubli. Wherever I go on a craft trail in India, I wear local textiles. I try to, at least whatever I have in my wardrobe. And I wore those two. I wore the patadanchu in Hampi, in fact. It was a very hot June day, but I survived. All right. So my last question to you is, if there's one change you can bring, hypothetically, ideally, what is that going to be?
One thing I want to happen is like miraculously everyone takes responsibility, have common sense and use natural resources and also use things very wisely when they are using anything. Think wisely about whether it's harming environment, whether it's harming our next generation, what we are using, is it really required? A thought process where they think and use their common sense to buy anything. That's where I feel everyone should be socially responsible for whatever they do. Then probably we will be like more like a more sensible country because we have huge in number and we can make huge difference. Each individual taking their own responsibility, I feel society can be better rather than putting it on others to get it done. Each individual take their own responsibility. That's what I think everyone should work towards. That will create a very homogeneous and wonderful society.
That's a lovely way of thinking, isn't it? I often find this strange argument going on inside my mind that when I read about textiles, many textiles, it says, oh, it's so popular because it's hardy, whether it's the pattadanchu you make or muga silk of Assam, that it's durable, it lasts for years, but we don't test them. We hardly wear them once in a year. And as you mentioned, I also tend to use old saris as curtains or cushion cover materials, or just if it's a dupatta form, then I just use it as a throw on my sofa. And people tell me, oh gosh, you're using so expensive textiles for home, for random everyday home furnishing. And I don't know what to say, because in my mind, I think this is what it's supposed to do.
Because I've seen my aunts and I've seen my mother, grandmother, everyone had, I'm sure you must have also done that. Everyone had little money. They wouldn't buy everything. Everyone can't buy everything. So basically the whole idea which I think is, if we could only focus on where we are living, take from there. Phir baad mein dusra state dekhenge. So probably wo wala population focuses on that area itself, it's more than enough. We are actually growing global now. So we want anything and everything. So that is where the whole imbalance, I don't know, probably I must be wrong also. But I feel agar hum aaspaas ki cheeze hi khareed le, jaise na simple cheese, things which I love to do is, can we buy cotton in our area? No. Then can we buy something more else, or the natural dye, or like what we eat also, the fruit, whatever available around us. What can we do best instead of ordering from somewhere and getting, can I get it somewhere closer to me? To some extent it's doable, but some extent it is not doable, but I don't know. For example, as growing up in Bombay, we had this milk bottle coming instead of plastic, but we did that whole circus, no? Outside the home, there was this whole booth of milk where people would take the bottle or take the bartan and do. People did. It's not that we've not done, but now we are outgrown all that. And now it's going to a next level. No, environmentally, we are really in a bad shape.
No, I fully agree. And consumerism within the sari sphere is a relevant topic, but it's not a topic that we can cover today, unfortunately. I think we need to have a dedicated episode talking about unchecked consumerism when it comes to saris, because unfortunately that is also happening. Is there any message you would like to leave for our listeners?
I would say go local, take whatever is available around you and focus on season. That is the best thing you can do it for your body and also for the environment.
Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Jain. It was lovely talking to you. And I hope we can have another conversation soon.
With that wonderful message, we end today's episode. See you again with yet another Textile Tale of India.